Hello, and welcome to the Coaching Your Family Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Certified Family Relationship Coach Tina Gosney, and I'm here to help you heal the relationship you have with you so that you can show up as a healthier version of yourself and your family. For the year 2023, and we're, you know, nine-ish months into this year, I've been working my way, this was my New Year's resolution, I've been working my way through Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection. Now, if you don't know who Brené Brown is, she is one amazing woman. I have been studying her work for years. In fact, I remember, it's probably been at least 5 years ago, and I had found one of her books that I just loved. And my husband was going to be taking a road trip, and I said, hey, I know that I tell you all the time that you need to read things that I read, or I want you to listen to this or read this. And I know I probably over just like give you too much stuff, right? But this, you really have to listen to this. I had it on audio at the time, on Audible. And so I knew had this road trip coming up. And I said, I'm just going to say, I need for you to listen to this as you take this road trip. So being the kind, wonderful person that he is, he did listen to this book and he stopped about 2.5 hours, was about the halfway point. And he stopped and called me because he had to gas up his truck. And he said, hey, I've been listening to that book that you were telling me to listen to. And I said, yeah, what do you think? And he said, my life's never going to be the same again. And he wasn't being sarcastic. He was literally saying, like, I think this work is changing my life. And we both have just leaned into everything Brené Brown since then. But for back to this year, 2023, I have been going through the Gifts of Imperfection. She has 10 guideposts for wholehearted living, and I've been doing one of those each month. There is not a book of hers that I would not recommend, and I often will refer my clients to her books or send them a book. They are all well worth the time it takes to read them or to listen to them. And I come back to her work all the time. If you don't know who she is, let me give you just a brief introduction because she's a friend of mine. Even though she doesn't know she's my friend, she is my friend. I've had her in my ears and in my life for so long now. She is a researcher and a storyteller. That's how she describes herself. She spent the last 2 decades studying courage and vulnerability, shame and empathy. Those are 4 difficult words: courage, vulnerability, shame, and empathy. She has leaned into and studied all of those. I'm going to put a link to her TED Talk in the show notes. So if you're not familiar with her, this is a great introduction just to go listen to her first TED Talk. I think it was at least 10 years ago. It might have been a little bit longer than that. She talks about wholehearted living. And this is what she means by wholehearted living. This is just a quote from her book, The Gifts of Imperfection. She said, wholehearted living is about engaging in our lives from a place of worthiness. It means cultivating the courage, compassion, and connection to wake up in the morning and think, no matter what gets done and how much is left undone, I am enough. It's going to bed at night thinking, yes, I am imperfect and vulnerable and sometimes afraid, but that doesn't change the truth that I am also brave and worthy of love and belonging. And she says, wholehearted living is not a one-time choice, it's a process. In fact, I believe it's the journey of a lifetime. I have to agree with her. This is not something that you just flip a switch on and then all of a sudden you're living wholeheartedly. This is the journey of a lifetime. She was in the middle of her research several years ago, and she was on a day in November, she says she was putting together all this data that she had collected, and she was sure that she was going to find that people that lived wholeheartedly did the same things that she had been doing, which was following the rules, working hard, always trying to do better and to be better, raising her kids the way she was told was the right way to raise them. And then she said she learned a tough lesson as she sat and looked at what the data was telling her. This is a quote from her. She said, knowledge is important, but only if we're being kind and gentle with ourselves as we work to discover who we are. Wholeheartedness is as much about embracing our tenderness and vulnerability as it is about developing knowledge and claiming power. And perhaps the most painful lesson of that day hit me so hard that it took my breath away. It was clear from the data that we cannot give our children what we don't have. Where we are on our journey of living and loving with our whole hearts is as much a strong indicator of parenting success than anything we can learn from how-to books. This journey is equal parts heart work and head work. And as I sat there on that dreary November day, it was clear to me that I was lacking in my own heart work. You know, through all my work with my clients, I have found that that is usually, if there's something that's lacking between heart work and head work, it is almost always heart work. And knowing how to do the heart work, knowing even what that means and what that looks like, no one teaches us how to do this. Very few people had a role model to even know what that looks like, to what heart work looks like. And when I found this wholehearted parenting manifesto on her website, I knew that I needed to share it with my friends on my podcast. I have it available to you through a link in the show notes. I've taken her manifesto and just put it into a format that I think is pretty good. I think it's one that I've had hanging on my wall this year. So you can just go there and you can download a copy of it, or you can go to her website and download a copy of it. It's just a little harder to find there. I'm going to put a link directly into the show notes for you. Now, like I said before, in the Gifts of Imperfection book, which is kind of her flagship book, she has 10 guideposts for wholehearted living. I've been focusing on one of the guideposts each month, so I'm almost all the way through them. She has a quiz that I think is really eye-opening. It's on her website. You can take that and it will give you a score in each of the 10 guideposts. And it's really eye-opening to see where am I scoring on each one of these and where am I doing really well and where do I need to work on. Now, I will totally claim the title of being a recovering perfectionist. And I've noticed more this year than any other year, probably because this is what I've been working on, how many, many ways perfectionism has affected my life and crippled my life, especially with relationships with the people that I love dearly. I don't think I'm alone in that, wearing that title of perfectionist or recovering perfectionist. I think there's many of you that are probably listening to this podcast right now that have the same tendencies, perfectionistic tendencies that I do. And maybe you recognize them and maybe you don't. But I really wanted to give and present this wholehearted parenting manifesto to you today as I do this series of four parents who have had children that are leaving or have left the LDS Church. Last week, I did an interview and a conversation with Jennifer Finlayson Fife, and we talked about the difficulties that happen for parents when their children leave. We really talked about how to differentiate ourselves from our grown children. It was so good. If you haven't listened to that episode, you should go listen to that episode. She has so many really great things to say. One of the things that she did say was that sometimes the kids don't just leave the church, they leave the church angrily. And they're not just angry at the church, but angry at their parents and angry at God. And that is true. We're seeing more and more of that. And maybe you're experiencing that in your own life. That's so hard for you to be there. But when so much of your family life and your family culture has been wrapped up in being a member of the church, it can be really hard to move forward. And it's really easy to fall into this trap of not knowing what to do when not all of your family is right there with you, believing and living in the same way. When I saw this parenting manifesto, I knew it was perfect for this series and perfect to apply to this situation. I think that Brené Brown probably wrote this for parents who still have children that are living at home and that they're raising, but I think it can be useful for parents who have had adult kids that are not living in their home, and whether they're inside or outside of the church. I think it's useful for a parent at any stage. This gives you a place of connection, vulnerability, and shared meaning. It balances heart work and head work. And these things are so important in relationships that are intimate and authentic. We are supposed to create relationships where we really listen, even when the other person is saying something that we don't really want to hear. We are meant to mourn with each other and connect through grief and sadness. When we really seek to understand each other and really listen, we feel heard and understood. Did you know that for most people, almost all people, when someone really is listening to you and trying to understand what you're saying, that we interpret that as being loved? Being heard and understood is so important that our bodies will register that as safety and love. Now, I know that for so many children who leave the church, they are afraid that when they tell their parents, that their parents will reject them and their family will no longer want to be around them. I've heard direct stories of this happening. And so when these kids are telling their parents, maybe you're the parent, maybe you're the kid, I don't know. Maybe you're finding yourself on one side of that equation or the other. But when a child tells their parent they're leaving, sometimes they're not just leaving a faith that was all-encompassing of their life. That is difficult enough. So many of them are facing the possibility of also leaving their family, leaving them, and their family not wanting to be associated with them anymore. And that is heartbreaking. Not only that they think that this will happen, but that some of them are not wrong. If we can open our hearts and connect in different ways to our children besides through faith, this will make a huge difference. And I want to read parts of this manifesto to you because I just think it balances. It's a perfect balance of that head work and the heart work. And here is the manifesto. I want you to know you are loved and lovable. You will learn this from my words and actions. The lessons on love are in how I treat you and how I treat myself. I want you to engage with the world from a place of worthiness. You will learn that you are worthy of love, belonging, and joy every time you see me practice self-compassion and embrace my own imperfections. We will practice courage in our family by showing up, letting ourselves be seen, and honoring vulnerability. We will share our stories of struggle and strength. There will always be room for both in our home. We will teach you compassion by practicing compassion with ourselves first, then with each other. We will set and respect boundaries. We will honor hard work, hope, perseverance, rest, and play. You will learn accountability and respect by watching me make mistakes and make amends, and by watching how I ask for what I need and talk about how I feel. I want you to know joy, so together we will practice gratitude. I want you to feel joy, so together we will learn how to be vulnerable. When uncertainty and scarcity visit, you will be able to draw from the spirit that is part of our everyday life. And together we will cry and face fear and grief. I will want to take away your pain, but instead I will sit with you and teach you how to feel it. We will laugh and sing and dance and create. We will always have permission to be ourselves with each other, no matter what. You will always belong here. As you begin your wholehearted journey, the greatest gift I can give to you is to live and love with my whole heart and to dare greatly. I will not teach or show you anything perfectly, but I will let you see me, and I will always hold sacred the gift of seeing you. I promise to truly, deeply see you. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I just love it. Every time I read that, it just gives me chills. In the next few weeks, I'll be talking to you about some of the hard things that parents go through when their children leave the church. If this is you, you're going to see yourself in part of, or maybe all of what I'm talking about. And I wanted to present this manifesto at the beginning of this series, because as you go through it, I want you to keep in mind that when the difficult parts of family life show up, the part that it seems like there's no resolution or solution does not present itself, that we can keep an open heart and we can live wholeheartedly. We don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes the answer is just to sit and love with an open heart. Now keep this in mind as the next few weeks as I go through the series. I hope you will be with me through all of it. I'm so glad that you've been here with me today. You can download a link to this manifesto in the show notes. Have a great day, and I will see you here next week.